supervisors will reconvene, and we're at 7A.
Yes.
6A.
I'm sorry, 6A.
Thank you.
Ms. Nielsen.
Yes, good afternoon, Board. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. At the Board's direction, I am bringing this item back for Board action regarding the attached draft proclamation of a local emergency and requesting the Governor proclaim a state of emergency related to the impacts to Klamath River water quality and potential impacts to air quality related to the Lower Klamath Dam removal activities. Attached as part of this agenda item is the updated draft proclamation, the county's recent water quality memo, results from the county's Environmental Health Department's February Klamath River water quality samples, the Environmental Protection Agency's primary and secondary drinking water standards, which were which the Environmental Health Department's water sample results were compared to in the memo, and the email that I referenced last week during my presentation from Mark Bransom committing to the county to do certain water sampling activities. There is extensive detail included in the water quality memo, but in general, the results of the county's water quality sampling showed levels of heavy metals that were above Klamath River baseline conditions and were above the EPA's primary and secondary drinking water standards for arsenic, lead, iron, and aluminum. As directed by the Board, following your vote last week to bring this proclamation back to the Board, I want to be very specific in what I included. I included additional whereases to the proclamation that ask for the state to, one, perform monthly Klamath River water quality sampling, two, monthly residential groundwater well testing, and three, continuous air quality monitoring all throughout the duration of the project. And the duration of the project is the duration of the FERC project. FERC signs off on the project once the project is deemed complete, which includes restoration activities. At the Board's direction, I also contacted the State Water Resources Control Board via email to ask for their commitment to perform water quality monitoring both of the river and of wells on a monthly basis, and including the same constituents that the county is sampling for, and I did not receive those commitments. However, Matt St. John with the Water Board is on Zoom and would like to make a comment as to their efforts coordinating with KRRC regarding the sampling that Mr. Bransom referred to earlier. As a reminder, the water quality sampling that must be performed by KRRC currently or their contractors per their water quality permit requirements includes two heavy metals, while the county's water quality sampling and what I requested from the state board at the direction from this board includes 11 heavy metals, three of which tested higher than the EPA's primary and secondary drinking water standards and are not currently being tested by KRRC's contractors as part of their current continuous monitoring. However, we did receive additional information today, or the board received additional information today regarding what KRRC will include in a statement of procedures, which we look forward to receiving from KRRC. To speak to local air quality monitoring efforts, the County Ag Commissioner, in his capacity as the Director of the Siskiyou Air Pollution Control District, is available if there are any questions from the board. And with that, I want to keep it simple and straightforward, and I'm here to answer any questions that the board may have for me. Thank you.
Is there any other staff that wish to make a comment before? I have a few public comments, but...
I would ask that Matt St. John be able to provide a comment. That would be great. Thank you. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, good morning. Or actually, not good morning. Good afternoon. You've had quite the endurance. I commend you. Good afternoon, Chair Kopseff, members of the board. My name is Matt St. John. I'm an environmental program manager with the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. And I was asked by my colleagues at the State Water Resources Control Board to address you today, given my background working in the Klamath River on water quality issues over a couple of decades. Prior to transitioning into my current position with the Regional Water Board last year, I served previously for 10 years as the executive officer of the North Coast Regional Board. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to join you today in person, but I have been listening throughout the comments and discussion among the board all morning and into the afternoon, and I'm glad to provide some comments to you now, addressing some of the things that have been, many of the things that have been discussed today regarding Klamath River water quality, and then to answer any questions that you may have for me. The comments that I want to make regarding water quality conditions in the Klamath River are consistent with the points that have been presented in a frequently asked questions document that is now posted on the state and regional water board's websites, and which were updated just today to be clear that recreational use of the Klamath River would not lead to adverse health effects. And I'll speak a bit more to that in a minute. First, I want to say that the water boards continue to maintain that the Klamath Dam Removal Project is a vital river restoration project that will both benefit salmon and aquatic life and improve water quality. But this is a major restoration project of a natural river system, and this restoration will take time. The State Water Board's environmental analysis, the final environmental impact report for the Klamath Dam Removal Project, anticipated that there would be short-term impacts associated with the release of sediment stored behind the dams, but that removal of the four dams will result in long-term benefits to both water quality and to fisheries. It was known that sediment has accumulated behind the dams for over more than 50 years since the dams were constructed, and that in addition to containing decades of decaying algae, these reservoir sediments also do contain some organic and inorganic chemicals. And it was expected that river water concentrations of some of these chemicals, including metals, which are bound up in the sediments, would increase temporarily in the Klamath River downstream of the dams as the reservoir drawdown occurs. The State Water Board's environmental analysis for the project determined that the water downstream of the dams could be unsafe for drinking in the short term. And the State Water Board therefore required that KRRC mitigate for this anticipated outcome and to conduct water quality monitoring to evaluate conditions and to back up the mitigation work. So short-term impacts to water quality were expected. However, these short-term impacts are anticipated to diminish over time as sediments are either flushed down the Klamath River or stabilized in place, and a more naturally functioning river system takes hold, bringing about the long-term water quality improvements that are expected for the Klamath River. I want to be clear, we understand that there are concerns regarding the heavy metals that were samples that were collected by the county, but it's important to keep in mind that the water quality conditions reported by the county's one round of monitoring provides a snapshot of water quality from late January, which was the period that was expected to have the highest levels of suspended sediment and associated inorganic chemicals, including metals. And that snapshot of water quality may not represent the current water quality condition now at the end of March. The metal results that were reported by the county are in line with the water quality expectations and were documented in the state board's final environmental impact report. The memo that was prepared for you by the county's consultant compared the measured concentrations of heavy metals to drinking water standards. And while drinking water standards do apply to the Klamath River, they're only applicable where Klamath River water is used directly as a public drinking water system. And during the drawdown, the period of drawdown, as Mr. Bransom has shared with you, there's only one public drinking water system downstream of the dams, and in conformance with the requirements of the final EIR, KRRC has provided an alternative drinking water supply to that system at the Caltrans Collier Rest Area. And statewide, as has been stated earlier, no one should be drinking surface water without treatment. Any surface water that's used for drinking should be tested and treated in accordance with state and federal requirements for drinking water systems. Now, with respect to private drinking water wells, the water boards believe that the metals from the mobilized sediments will not affect the quality of groundwater wells located near river. The metals that were stored behind the dams and that are now being flushed down the Klamath River are sorbed onto sediment particles, and water that's pumped from a well is filtered through the soil column and is not expected to draw water from the Klamath River. Finally, in response to concerns about potential health effects to people recreating on the river, either swimming or fishing, the Water Board, in coordination with colleagues within CalEPA, completed an assessment of the county's available water quality data and current conditions. And we've determined that it's unlikely that recreational use of the river would lead to adverse health effects or exposure from in the river. Specifically, health effects from contact with the skin from swimming with the Klamath River would be negligible. And incidental ingestion, meaning swallowing of water when swimming during late winter, early spring, or spring, summer months, would not cause adverse health effects. Now, as we heard from Mr. Bransom earlier today, KRRC has agreed to complete an additional round of sampling consistent with the monitoring that the county completed, including analysis for heavy metals. And in addition, they will conduct their regularly scheduled sampling following this additional round of monitoring. And results for these additional sampling events will inform whether future sampling would be helpful or needed in order to further assess potential health effects, either to humans or to aquatic life. So wrapping up, in conclusion, the Water Board does not believe that the Klamath River water quality conditions pose any public health risk associated with the potential well contamination, recreational water contact, or to drinking water systems. We appreciate the county's proactive steps to monitor water quality conditions, and we look forward to reviewing the results of the additional sampling that KRC has agreed to conduct. And based on those results, the water boards will continue to coordinate with your staff and the staff's consultants to determine whether additional monitoring is needed or other mitigation measures are warranted. So thanks a lot for hearing my comments, and I, of course, will be glad to answer any questions that you have for me.
So stay right there, Matt, and we'll come to the board real quick and see if there's any questions. Supervisor Haupt, anything? Supervisor Valenzuela? Supervisor Chris,
No follow-up, thank you for being here.
Supervisor Holgren?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Ms. Nielsen, continue. Who's next?
I didn't have it. If you have any questions for myself or any other staff, we are available.
Anything? Okay. Does Mr. Shinoni have any comments that he'd like to make?
Good afternoon, Board of Supervisors, Director of Emergency Services, Brian Shinoni. Just in accordance with what you had requested in the state of emergency, we had added just whatever Elizabeth had spoken on, but that was the only other. I know there was a question in air quality that we had discussed. And then, pending any questions, I'm here for support.
Supervisor Holgren.
I'll go back to the discussion we had last week regarding funding. Are there any more information on that, or any thresholds that we have to meet? Has that changed any at all about funding that we might be able to get from the federal government or the state government regarding a declaration of emergency?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. Perfectly stated, that was brought up earlier today, and then one thing I did want to discuss is if a state of emergency is declared, there is no individual assistance. So the state of California does not issue individual assistance to those affected, whether it be wildfire or whatever it might be. Only the federal government can issue individual assistance, and that would be a federal declaration. The only other funding that would be available, if we were to push and see what that looks like, it's a very slim chance. I've only gotten it once through the McKinney Fire, and that would be an SBA. It's a loan with a very low rate SBA loan.
Is that for individual property owners, or is that for us as a county?
So there's a breakdown of two. There's individual assistance, which would be so-and-so has been affected by a disaster, and the state or the federal government would pay that person a set amount of money for individual assistance. We will always get public assistance, and that's going to be for infrastructure, roads, any damaged public infrastructure.
Okay, so with that, if there were, I'm not sure if I should even go this route, if there were any outstanding money that we needed to pay for roads, say Copco Road infrastructure, is there a way that we could look at that?
So, yes, it's broken down in certain ways. It's there's a Cat A, Cat B, Cat C, which is usually our bridge work or whatever it might be, bridge or road repair, and those would be something that would be a claimable cost if the state issued California Disaster Assistance Act, which is CDAA, and that is the reimbursement of any funding that we, anything that we may see. So this road here is destroyed from fire, disaster, whatever. State issues CDAA, which is California Disaster Assistance Act. We pay for it, and then it's a reimbursed back from the state of California with a cost share back to this county.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Shinoni, it might be for you, but Ms. Emery, if you could get Mr. St. John, if he's still on. I hate it when I do this, you come up with a question afterwards, but something's popped a question for you. For groundwater testing, President Reagan had a quote, trust but verify. And so in regards to the, can you hear me in the back row?
Yes.
In regards to the state or the feds are saying this will not percolate into groundwater. Is there a system or funding that can come into place, or a pattern that certain wells are tested in order to confirm that nothing bad has happened? A further step beyond the initial studies that confirms that either confirms something is happening or confirms something is happening.
If I understand your question correctly, the state and regional boards don't have a particular funding source for helping to pay for monitoring of private groundwater wells. We had a meeting yesterday with county staff and Ms. Murphy, and understand that there have been property owners that have done monitoring. We'd be happy to take a look at those monitoring results and provide our review and assessment of those conditions. But as far as funding to help pay for that, unfortunately, no. The state of California does not have funds that I'm aware of to assist private landowners in monitoring private groundwater wells.
Stan, I remember talking last week about this. It was a big issue for cities. Let's say it was the city of Irene or whatever. They were getting their source. They're not, but they were getting their water. There'd be one point where we could test. Would there ever be money for municipal city for water testing?
Yeah, I mean, so public water services are regulated by the State Water Resources Control Boards, their Division of Drinking Water, and those systems do, they're required under permit to do monitoring. And at some times there is assistance that can be provided for those monitoring costs of those public water services. But it's a kind of a different beast for private wells, unfortunately.
Well, thank you. To follow up on that, I think that the state should view this as though it's one large municipality with several individual outlets or inlets of water coming in. Like I said, trust but verify. People have a legitimate concern of spending a lot of their disposable income, but I'll say even more than disposable income, just ensuring that they're safe. So I would urge the state to take that on in some pattern to test residential wells at a certain rate to trust but verify this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank
you, Mr. State Dog.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, you have anything you wish to add on the air quality?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Jim Smith, Air Pollution Control Officer, representing the Air Pollution Control District Board of Directors. I have a couple of pictures to share with you. Their district was able to put up four purple air sensors at Copco yesterday. One of them has already failed, and we'll try to replace that on the 28th of March. That's not the right one. That's the second one. That's okay. The map. I have a picture of the location. Purple air sensors measure PM2.5, which is a particulate matter of 2.5 microns in size, pretty small. It's a type of particulate matter that gets deep in your lungs and causes serious health effects over time. We think that a more appropriate level of measurement would be 10 microns, which would collect any type of dust being blown around up there, including 2.5 microns. But in the meantime, we had those available. We put them in place. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the alternatives that would give you better data. So in the next picture, you can put the other one down. Oh, wait, go back. For those of you viewing this, this is a site called purpleair.com, I believe. That's what it says. You can click on those little green buttons, and it will tell you what their quality is based on the 2.5 micron PM2.5 ratings. As you can see, air quality is really good up there based upon these cheap meters. They're not real accurate, but it gives you kind of a guideline. One's at the community center, and there's the three residences that have volunteered to let us put those up. Thanks to Elizabeth for providing that information. I appreciated that. Next picture, please. If the board is interested in additional data collection and information, this is the type of monitor that would have to be placed There's two different kinds. One's called an EBAM, and one's called an EBAM Plus. An EBAM measures 2.5 or 10. Our current ones would be reporting 10 microns as a 2.5 micron reading to the AirNow smoke management, because this is what we usually use it for. The second kind, EBAM Plus, is a federal equivalency method that can actually be used in court. Depending on what the board desires as far as air monitoring is concerned, we can get pretty extensive. So what I would like is some guidance from you going forward that I can take to my board and implement your request. What kind of data you would like to collect, how much you would like to collect, and for how long. The Air District does not have funds to do this, so there would have to be some method to pay for this. And I'm more than willing to work on that. We currently have some EBAMs on hand. They're dedicated mostly for a McLeod prescribed fire, which is burning all the way around the town of McLeod, and I'm not going to move them out of there. But I can get a couple more to place near the Klamath River if you need it. I'd also like to say that the Air District Board would probably be willing to entertain a recommendation from me to provide a proclamation supporting an emergency air quality issue. The likelihood of the planting that occurred up there, this is from the Agricultural Commissioner, succeeding this year is 50-50. Some of the things they planted will grow. A lot of the stuff that was planted by helicopter is going to have some pretty high failure rates unless something happens to get the seed soil impacts done better. That would indicate that we'd be looking at more dust impacts because of the lack of vegetation. Now, that may not happen, but in my professional opinion, it's likely to. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Somebody bounce
sure. I, you know, one of the things I've advocated for ever and a day on this board is to put air monitoring, and thank you for finally getting Mount Shasta up and running, but how long did it take for that to happen? I've long advocated for north, south, east, west.
Long time.
And, yeah, and so I realize there's a cost, but I think it's just prudent. You know, I wish we were a little bit more proactive in this sense, so thank you for getting something up there as quick as you did.
Get a lot of help.
You know, I realize there's a cost, but this is one of those things where cost is not the highest priority. Again, this is just me. I think saying we're going to declare an emergency when we don't have data is premature.
I agree.
And so, you know, to me, it's like, I want the best piece of equipment we can get, possibly. I think there's grant money out there. I will remind this board that I was on the CSAC board, that I got a grant fund operation through, because small rural counties like us don't have money just to do something. So we could go after these kind of things, including well monitoring and all those kind of things. I'm glad that we got these monitoring things up. I would want what was, I would replicate what we have in Wairika and Mount Shasta up at COPCO. And I would just, I would look to someone smarter than me for guidance of what we need to look for when it comes to health, safety, those kind of things. So we're probably going to get public health to get their input of what the ramifications are.
So I can address that just a little bit if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. One of these monitors, the two EBAMs, I should say, collect that, they collect a deposit that you can use to analyze the, you know, contents of the soil, whatever is collected in there. The purple air sensors don't do any of that. Collecting it is pretty easy. Storing it is pretty easy. The protocol is pretty simple, pretty well done. And that would give us some backup on analyzing it for toxics, you know, which is probably a good idea. I can take your request to the board of directors. It's going to take a little work to get a grant.
Sure.
We do have a grant already in place that will allow us to put a permanent air monitoring station in Happy Camp, just so you know.
Good.
So we're getting there.
So I, part of it to me is, you know, data collection, and then it's interpretation. You know, I need to get someone smarter than me to interpret that data.
Sure.
And so, you know, glad that we're looking, moving forward, because this isn't a short-term thing. This isn't a, you know, yeah, I get they're temporary, but this is like permanent in my mind.
Yeah.
Supervisor Howe?
Just thank you for being so quick.
Had a lot of help.
I know you've done you. I'm thanking all of you, you know, and being so responsive, because this is critical. And it's critical that we got this established right now so we have a baseline, you know, before we get the drying into the summer up there. So on the less than sophisticated monitors.
Turbo air sensors.
Yeah, so did we, would you say send the screen off for analysis, for chemical analysis? Is that what you would have to do?
I can't do anything except give you that information you saw on the screen from a purple air sensor. For the E-bands, I can take the tape that the deposit is put on, and we can analyze the contents.
Okay. Thank you.
But I'd have to have those sensors in place. They take a little more attention to detail. Secure location, Wi-Fi, or a satellite phone connection, or a cellular phone connection, which is unlikely up there in many cases, and enough of them to take care of business and to complete what I have to do in my mandated monitoring projects.
Okay. Seems like we're on the same page.
Okay. Everybody? We're good? So I think you've got consensus that
you put as many monitors out there as I can get the money for, right?
Yeah, but the high, the better quality air monitor,
yeah.
Because you are establishing a baseline so that we know where we're at now and where we'll be in future.
The best baseline would be the Federal Equivalency Method E-band Plus. I don't have any of those.
Well,
they cost
the
about
best of what you have,
grand.
Unless we get some assistance, I guess.
So to me, I would replicate what we have, and now she asked the wiring.
Okay.
And then with that, I, my expectation is because this
I can't do that yet. That's going to take a long time.
We'll evolve there.
Okay.
I'm telling you what my expectation is.
Okay.
So I would also expect that we're going to have this before the Air Pollution Control Board for further discussion and maybe more robust discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.